Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news. By the numbers. Ector County, 20,645 total cases, 398 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 60 students, 14 staff. Midland County, 21,334 total cases, 287 deaths. Texas, 3,462,334 total cases, 55,283 deaths. U.S. cases, 37,996,672 total confirmed and 628,000 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH reports COVID numbers. 99 total COVID patients in-house. Medical surgery non-critical, 59 COVID patients. 48 unvaccinated, 9 vaccinated, 2 unknown. Includes 1 patient on pediatrics. Critical care, 40 COVID patients, 35 on ventilators. 32 unvaccinated, 7 vaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 13 to 87 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Alton, 2 from Crane, 2 from Kermit, 4 from Midland, 1 from Saragossa, and 1 from Toya. The rest are from Odessa, Ector County. Local news roundup. ECSO lobby closure. The main lobby to the Ector County Sheriff's Office is closed to the public due to rise in COVID-19 cases. To talk to an investigator, call 432-335-3050 and schedule an appointment if needed. Visit facebook.com/Ector County Sheriff's Office. Educational Workshop. The Odessa Lynx 8th Annual Community Conference has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday at the UTPB Seed Building, North 1310 FM 1788, Midland. Author Elia Moreno will present a presentation, Living Intentionally to Address Poverty. Moreno is the author of Permission to Rest from Compassion Fatigue to Compassion Satisfaction and Living Intentionally, Mastering the Art of Impacting Others in Just 90 Seconds. This educational workshop will offer tools, strategies, networking, and interactive sessions to engage the community in alleviating poverty and coping skills to avoid compassion fatigue. 5 CEUs for LPC and SW provided by UTPB. Fee is $50, includes breakfast, lunch, and program materials. To register, visit odessalinks.org. A Stronger Connection Contest. Sparklight recently announced it will award $1,000 each to 12 individuals making a difference in the communities it serves as part of the Internet Service Provider's A Stronger Connection social media campaign. Individuals throughout the 21 states Sparklight serves can nominate a fellow community member simply by sharing a photo and written entry outlining how the nominee works to build connections in their community, whether through volunteering, caregiving, teaching, as a first responder, or a myriad other things. Three individuals will be selected to win each week for 4 weeks. Entries will be accepted through September 5th at sparklight.com/contest. Winning individuals will be highlighted on Sparklight's social media channels, including Facebook and Instagram. Downtown Master Plan. Downtown Odessa Incorporated is seeking public input and has planned a series of town hall meetings to discuss the Downtown Master Plan, September 13th through the 15th at the Odessa Police Department, First Floor Training Room, 205 North Grant Avenue. Town hall meetings topics schedule is September 13th, 10 a.m. to noon, goals and objectives, 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., build, environment, and visionaries, and 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., streetscaping and walkability. September 14th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., land use, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., activities and public events, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., parking. September 15th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Grant Avenue, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., developers' workshop, and 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., presentation of ideas. In the meantime, to take the survey, go to engagekh.com/downtownodessa. For more information, call 432-335-4682, email purruti@odessa-tx.gov, or visit facebook.com/downtownodessatexas. National Night Out. The Odessa Police Department would like to remind the public to sign up for this year's National Night Out, which is scheduled from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. October 5th. The deadline to sign up is 5 p.m. October 1st. Email the completed registration form to mhamilton@odessa-tx.gov or mail it to 205 North Grant, Odessa, Texas, 79761. You can also drop it off anytime at the OPD front desk. National Night Out is designed to heighten crime and drug prevention awareness, generate support for and participation in local anti-crime partnerships, and send a message to criminals letting them know that neighborhoods are organized and fighting back. In 2008, the National Association of Town Watch, NATW, officially agreed to have a National Night Out for Texas on the first Tuesday of October, instead of the traditional first week in August. Visit tinyurl.com/bvy27wzk. Court Ways Funding Please by OA News at oaoa.com. Ector County Commissioners on Tuesdays heard a raft of requests for shares in the $16.1 million that the county has gotten from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, and they said at the end that all the proposals would be judicially considered. "It's too bad we haven't won the lottery," quipped Judge Debbie Hayes. Medical Center Hospital President Russell Tippin renewed his plea, first made 2 weeks ago, for $7 million before Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Financial Officer Mona Mickel sought $2.5 million. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said his district's request for high-speed broadband funding for parents and students would be forwarded in about a week, and Ector County Utility Director Board President Tommy Irvin asked $6 million for water pipelines to Gardendale and South Ector County. With more than 60 people attending the 10 a.m. regular session in the county administration building at 1010 East 8th Street, other requests were made by District Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley for an assistant's salary increase, the South Ector County Volunteer Fire Department, the historic White Pool House, the County Health Department, and the Medical Examiner's Office. The commissioners said their decision on how to parcel out the money would be part of their deliberations, ending with the approval of the 2021-22 budget September 28th. 2 weeks ago, they voted to spend $4.5 million of the rescue plan money to cover a COVID-related county deficit and $1 million to upgrade technology in the county's 9 courts. The U.S. Treasury Department has told Auditor Randy Donner that the county will get another $16.1 million next year. In other business, the court heard a report from Attorney David Mendez of the Bickerstaff Health Delgado and Acosta Law Firm in Austin about political redistricting based on last year's national census, with Mendez saying population shift in the past decade will probably necessitate some realignment of the 4 commissioners' precincts. He said the state of Texas was given the census result on August 12th and that his firm will submit its recommendations on September 28th to beat the November 12th deadline. The commissioners also approved a $50,000 budget amendment to cover medical contract services at the law enforcement center, okayed hiring maintenance technicians for the rest of this fiscal year for $60.57 per hour, approved applying for $50,000 for the Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center from the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, with Harmony Home Executive Director Carrie Bronoff saying the money will be used to hire a coordinator to handle cases involving neglected children, which she said have become an increasingly serious problem. Renew the Health Department's contract with Acela Software. Approved a contract with Travelers Indemnity Insurance and USI Insurance Services for the coverage of property, inlaid marine commercial general liability, commercial auto liability with a $10,000 deductible, commercial auto physical damage, commercial umbrella excess liability, employee benefits liability, law enforcement liability, public entity management liability, drone hull and liability, and public entity employment-related practices liability. Tabled considerations of the city, county's oil and gas leases with Brazos River Resources to afford time to consult an attorney. Approved the sheriff's civil process fees. Approved an inter-local agreement with the City of Odessa for the 2021 Bernie Justice Assistant Program Awards. Finally okayed the Area Agency on Aging's 2021-22 budget for $57,262, which is covered by the state. Man charged in connection to fatal collision. OA News at OAOA.com. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed an 18-wheeler involved in a fatal collision didn't have its trailer lights plugged in. Anthony Carlos Gallo of New Orleans was charged with criminally negligent homicide, a state jail felony, possession of a controlled substance, a state jail felony, and falsification of drug test results, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported incident happened at 6:45 a.m. August 23rd near the intersection of Mercer Road and U.S. Highway 385, the affidavit stated. Officers reportedly learned the driver of a white International, identified as Gallo, was attempting to turn left from Mercer onto Highway 385. Gallo stopped in the median, which left his trailer blocking the northbound lanes. A blue Chevrolet Silverado collided with the trailer, the affidavit stated. A gray Jeep Grand Cherokee also collided with the trailer. The driver of the Silverado was found dead on arrival. OPD issued a press release on its Facebook page on Tuesday morning and identified the man as James Everett of Odessa. OPD also detailed the driver of the Grand Cherokee refused medical treatment. Inspection of the International reportedly showed the trailer lights weren't plugged in. A bulb inspection on the trailer's left tail light also showed evidence of the light not being on when the collision happened. The fatal collision happened before 6:47 a.m. as the time for sunrise on this day was 7:19 a.m., the affidavit stated. That required the lights of the truck to be on before the collision happened. Officers reportedly took inventory of the International and found a white powdery substance along with a fake urine kit. Tuesday's press release from OPD detailed the white powdery substance was methamphetamine. Gallo has three bonds totaling $14,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon. Obituaries. Jose Luis Donato, Jr. Odessa. Jose Luis Donato, Jr., age 21, passed away on August 16, 2021, in Crane, Texas. He was born August 5, 2000, in Odessa, Texas, to Nancy Adi Franco and Jose Luis Donato, Sr. Jose Luis was preceded in death by his grandmother, Mary Lou Donato, uncle, Raimundo Cabello, cousin, Desiree Ramirez, aunt, Lorino Moreno Cabello, and uncle, Marcus Riviera. Jose Luis is survived by his parents, grandparents, Maria Guadalupe Cabello and Raimundo Ezequiel Franco, Enrique Donato, brothers, Jaime Jesus Donato, Joaquin Sebastian Zavala, Haziel Ezequiel Franco, and many aunts, uncles, and cousins. Friends and family will be received on Thursday, August 26th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel with a prayer service from 7 to 8 p.m. Funeral service will be held Friday, August 27th at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Odessa Second Garden section of Ector County Cemetery in Odessa, Texas. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Kenneth Ray Heatherly, Odessa. On August 18, 2021, Kenneth Ray Heatherly of Odessa, Texas, passed away at the age of 84. Kenneth was born on March 6, 1937, in Kaufman County, Texas, to Marl and Frankie Mae Heatherly. Ken was preceded in death by an infant brother, Williams, his parents, sister, Jewel Lewis and Irene Ramsey, and brother, James Heatherly. Kenneth is survived by daughter, Rinda Jaime Berryhill of Odessa, and their six children. Ken was papa to 34 grandchildren and Uncle Ken to many beloved nieces and nephews. Service will be held in the Crest Ridge Funeral Home Chapel in Level End on Friday, August 27th at 11 a.m. with a visitation to 10 a.m. until service time. Intermittent will follow in the City of Level End Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction and personal care of the professions at Crest Ridge Funeral Home, 806-897-1111. Charlie Vasquez, Jr., Odessa. Charlie Vasquez, Jr., 47, passed away August 18th at 12:55 at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa, Texas. Charlie was born April 7, 1974, in Odessa, Texas, to parents Charlie Sr. and Lucia Vasquez. He is preceded in death by various family members. Charlie is survived by his wife, Roxanne, daughter, Vanessa Vasquez, parents Charlie and Lucia, sisters Priscilla Alvarez and Miguel of Fort Worth, Texas, and Vicky Contreras and Jose of Odessa, Texas. Visitation is scheduled from noon to 8 p.m. today at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, August 26th at Crescent Park Baptist Church with burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel. Death notices. Reverend R.C. Hutchinson, Odessa. Reverend R.C. Hutchinson, 93, of Odessa, Texas, died Sunday, August 15, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, August 27th, at Greater St. John Baptist Church, 212 South Muskingum, Odessa. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Odessa Second Section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Manisha Latasia Sullivan, Midland. Manisha Latasia Sullivan, 25, of Odessa, died Sunday, August 15th in Midland, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 26th at Living Vision Church Ministries, located at 525 South Grandview Avenue, Odessa. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa Second. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Screening test for stomach cancer. Dear Dr. Roach, I read with interest your recent column regarding the benefit of a colonoscopy for detecting colon cancer. I am 58 and started experiencing frequent light nausea about 2 months ago, a few days after getting my first Moderna vaccine. My doctor had me get a blood test. It was generally normal, except the liver's enzyme activity level was very high. That led to a second liver-focused blood test, an abdominal ultrasound, an abdominal CT scan, followed by a colonoscopy and endoscopy. The last test, biopsy, determined that I have stomach cancer, and a liver biopsy, torso PET scan, chemotherapy, and immunotherapy are next. If the cancer has spread to the liver, which appears likely, then I have stage 4 stomach cancer, which may be fatal. I am not aware of any family history of stomach cancer. Why aren't endoscopies a recommended test for all age 50-plus individuals, as colonoscopies are? I might have had a much better survival prognosis if they were. Has any doctor found a way to beat stage 4 stomach cancer? Answer. I am very sorry to hear about your diagnosis and wish you well with your treatment. The prognosis for stage 4 stomach cancer is not good, but recent advances with immunotherapy and chemotherapy should give you hope. Successful screening for cancer requires two factors: a cancer that is detectable at a time when it can be successfully treated, and a screening test that is safe and accurate at detecting early cancer.
This is the Dear Abby column. Young woman feels pressure to be perfect. Dear Abby, my name is Lucia. I am 15 and I live in Santa Catarina, Brazil. My high school classmates and I saw a letter from Needs a Direction Atlanta online. That's why I'm asking some advice for you. Here in my country, there is a lot of awareness about female power and body positivity. However, we also have a standard of beauty that many girls can't or don't want to follow. On social media, we see a lot of perfect girls with thousands of followers on Instagram. I don't let myself be shaken by my appearance or my defects, but sometimes I feel excluded because I'm not like the amazing girl on social media. I like the way I look, but I feel out of place in relation to what is expected of teenage beauty. What advice would you give me to avoid feeling inferior to the amazing girls on social media? Signed, Coping with Being Me. Dear Coping, understand that outward appearance is only one aspect of a person. Looking like they were stamped out of a cookie cutter is a mistake too many girls and women make. Please know you are far from the only female who struggles with her self-image. The images and lives displayed on social media are oftentimes not reality. What you must remember is the importance of being your authentic self. Be neat, clean, and well-groomed in your daily life. Be friendly to others. What are your talents, qualities, and goals? Concentrate on developing them, because they not won't only fade with time, they will continue to improve. If you do this, others will find you attractive, and it won't require cosmetic surgery, regardless of how popular it may be in your country and mine. Dear Abby, a large neighborhood group, social and friendly, has been invaded by someone with wandering hands. I was the recipient of 3 incidents. I know of other women who have experienced the same, yet they won't share it with their husbands. My husband saw it happen and was on it. He not only protected me, but made sure the offender knew we would not tolerate it. The result? We are now the outcasts of gatherings. Everyone is trying to convince us to make up and accept the error of the drunk. We forgive, yet we have chosen not to be in that group. Our neighbors saying we should forgive and forget and get over it so we can rejoin them. It's not that easy. As much as we initially enjoyed everyone's company, it's no longer the same. Please advise. Signed, At a Crossroads in the South. Dear At a Crossroads, tell your well-meaning and forgiving neighbors, you know they mean well, but that when the person put his hands on you, you felt disrespected and threatened. I assume the drunk never offered you an apology. If you prefer not to be in that person's company, that is your privilege. Be sure your neighbors know you would be open to socializing with them separately so they won't feel you are snubbing them. Then direct your energy toward cultivating a different group with whom you feel more comfortable. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.